room in there this morning for me, Jimmy. It's a full house for a change.
That's right. Raymond's back. Raymond's back. Yeah, you make
thanks
a very
for holding
good point.
The fort last week,
yeah,
Bill.
Yeah, do appreciate that.
Absolutely pleasure, mate. I brought it home with a wet sail in the last half an hour.
Outstanding.
Good on you, mate.
Good on you, guys.
Okay, we'll speak next week. There he is, Phil Moss, our football expert. Just on the Asian Cup, Iran. Equal favourites with Japan at $5, South Korea at $5.50. So a strong side that Australia were playing. $7, fourth in the line of betting. The Socceroos for that tournament at tab.com.au. Massive hour coming up next. Andrew Simons is our legend of the game. We'll have the Mystery Voice Comp. We'll get a sports update with Tanya. We'll get Jared Daffy from Tab, Scotty Foster as well. And the world's 19th best golfer, Mark Leishman.
I'm Sarah Warmby. More than 200,000 Australians are now being supported through the National Disability Insurance Scheme, with almost all participants saying their experience has been positive. The NDIS is operating in New South Wales, ACT and South Australia, with its rollout ongoing in the remaining states and territories. About 460,000 people with disabilities are expected to be supported through the scheme by 2020-21, when the rollout is complete. It's just 6 days until Victorians find out who will govern them for the next 4 years, and the major parties are in non-stop pledge mode to win votes. Premier Daniel Andrews will release a $396 million policy to provide free dental checks and treatment for the state's 620,000 public school students. Meanwhile, the Herald Sun says Liberal opposition leader Matthew Guy has promised to give magistrates the power to send non-violent teens to a 12-week boot camp instead of sentencing them to youth justice centres. Today is Donate Life Thank You Day, which aims to highlight the generosity of organ and tissue donors as well as their families. Last year, more than 1,600 Australians received a life-changing transplant. Minister responsible for organ donation, Ken Wyatt, says it's important to thank all donors and tissue donors as well as the families who've made those donations possible.
We're encouraging all local residents and their families to learn more about organ donation and to sign up to the Australian Organ and Donor Register. Talk to your family and loved ones, then go to donatelife.gov.au. It just takes a minute, but remember, that minute could make a lifetime of difference for the people in need of an organ donation.
Also in news, a man has died from a heart attack after he was stung by a stingray while swimming at a Tasmanian beach, and a Sydney man is recovering after being attacked by a shark on the south coast. US President Donald Trump appears to be maintaining his scepticism about what role Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman played in the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The Washington Post reports the CIA has high confidence that the Crown Prince did order the killing of Khashoggi, despite denials from Saudi Arabia. A U.S. correspondent, Priscilla Huff, reports.
This is a situation where everyone basically knows what happened, one Trump advisor has told the Washington Post. And yet U.S. President Donald Trump continues to ask questions of his CIA briefers, such as what does ordered mean and where is Khashoggi's body? The newspaper reports that the CIA has high confidence in its assessment, even citing a phone call from another member of the Saudi royal family to Jamal Khashoggi, urging him to go to the consulate in Istanbul to pick up his marriage documents. The paper quotes an American official with CIA ties as saying, "The accepted position is that there is no way this could have happened without him, the Crown Prince, being aware or involved." Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Briefly, a protester has died and dozens have been injured during roadblocks set up around France to demonstrate against rising fuel taxes. A young woman has blown herself up near a police checkpoint in southern Russia. Nobody else was killed or injured. And the death toll from a cyclone that hit the coast of southern India has risen to 33. This is Air News. Graham Arnold saw the Socceroos play out an exciting draw against South Korea in his second match in charge, as Air Sports' Graham Davis reports.
Luongo scored with the last kick of the game to earn Australia a 1-1 draw in its friendly against South Korea. It looked as though Hwang Hui-jo's individual effort in the 22nd minute would give the visitors a win to match the same scoreline of the group stages of the last Asian Cup. The Socceroos had thrown everything into trying to equalise, but finally, when Boyle's close-range effort was parried, Luongo was one of several players in a position to knock in the rebound and gain a well-earned draw. Graham Davis in Brisbane for Air Sports.
In the women's games, there were wins for Newcastle and Perth. South Africa has defeated Australia by 21 runs in their rain affected 2020 international on the Gold Coast, with the hosts losing the series 2-1. Meantime, Alyssa Healy will require further assessment before being cleared for the Women's World 2020 semi-finals after a collision left her concussed and ended her game early in Australia's 48-run loss to India. Briefly, in the NBL, there were wins for Adelaide and Cairns. In rugby, the Wallabies have held off Italy, beating them 26-7, and Maverick Vinales of Yamaha took pole position for the season-ending Valencia MotoGP today, with champion Marc Marquez of Honda starting fifth after hurting his left shoulder in a crash. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Don't miss Suzuki's official test drive event for awesome deals and the chance to win a Vitara Turbo. Hurry. Suzuki's test drive event ends today. Go to suzuki.com.au for details. In Wetherill Park, we've still got lights out on Victoria Street and Elizabeth Street. In East Lakes, roads around the Lakes Golf Club will be affected by the Australian Open again today. That includes King Street near Southern Cross Drive. Clear under the airport. No delays on My Street or General Holmes Drive. For a Christmas they just can't wait for, fill their stockings with 40% off bonds. Bring the magic with Big W. While stocks last, colours and styles may vary by store. Excludes bonds activewear. Ends November 28. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
All roads lead to Richmond, Sunday, November 25, for the 2018 Richmond Riches Puppy Auction. From 9 a.m, 175 lots will go under the hammer, including pups by Fernando Bale, Dyna Double One and Fabregas. There's a puppy for all budgets. Or buy into one with million-dollar Chase Trifecta trainers Peter Lagogiani, Adam Crouch or Vic Sultana. Contact Richmond Race Club on 0245 782136 or download a catalogue at richmondgreyhounds.com.au.
The biggest cowboy Christmas ever is now on at K-Ranch Arena near Camden. Whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals this Saturday and Sunday. See Australia's elite bull riders battle it out on the baddest, meanest one-ton athletes in their quest to take home the gold buckle. Two big shows, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Save by booking online at kranch.com.au.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Cloudy, 40% chance of showers in the morning. Wind south to southeasterly, 15 to 20 kilometres an hour. Tending east to southeasterly during the morning and the early afternoon. 22 is going to be the maximum, Raymond. Possibly a shower, as mentioned. What about in Caringbah, south, and Canberra?
Currently 19 degrees in the Smith Mansion.
Oh, please.
Heading for a top of 21 in Caringbah. Canberra today, heading for a beautiful sunny day, a top of 23 degrees in the nation's capital.
Benan, tag for a hole, and this is a beauty.
Get in. Oh, a shot. Now it is treble 19.
It's the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome back to the final hour. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. We've got a big hour coming up. We'll get a sports update with Tanya very shortly. We'll do our mystery voice competition as well. We're going to speak to the world's 19th best golfer, Mark Leishman. Fascinating. Looking forward to that. Jared Daffy from tab.com.au. Scotty Foster as well as our legend of the game. Long overdue decisions in sport is our talk topic today, Raymond. You got any more?
I haven't thought of any more since you asked me the first time. You caught me on the hop there.
I tell you what, the one that sort of dovetails into where we're going next, which is our legend, and that is Andrew Symonds, who's working now for the Fox Cricket Network.
Bring back Andrew Symonds, long overdue.
No, long overdue decisions in sport is that we're not listening to Mark Nicholas present cricket in Australia. So that's just my thoughts on it. Which brings us to our legend of the game. He's a two-time World Cup winner, Raymond. He's 26 Test matches for Australia, 198 one-day internationals. The man known universally as Big Roy.
Great to watch.
He's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Andrew.
How are you, boys? Morning.
Yeah,
morning, Andrew.
We're really well. We're really well. How'd you go last night? Are you enjoying your time with Fox Cricket? I tell you, it's not a bad gig, is it?
Yeah, no. It's. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't having fun. It's a really good job, and they're very flexible and with how we want to sort of do things as well. They're happy to listen to us a bit, and they were just trying to work out the best way to get things done and get people a good viewing, I suppose.
No, it's coming across great, Andrew. Andrew, what about as a ex-Australian cricketer watching and having to commentate on the team now that's going through, I guess, a state of flux at the moment, aren't they? It's tough times for Australian cricket, Andrew.
Yeah, it is. I suppose the way that I'd describe it is you're watching in frustration, you know. You're trying to think of ways you could help or suggestions you could make. Gilly and I went down and had a beer with the Australians last night after the game, and everything we spoke about, we sort of suggested that they've already sort of they've turned that rock over.
Right.
Mm. So it's not as if there's nothing going on and they're not thinking about it and not trying to straighten things out. But the feeling I sort of get is they're a bit shell-shocked, you know what I mean? They're sort of, you know, what do we do next and how do we go about it to get a result? So they've just got to try and find a way to, I reckon they've got to go really small steps, just tiny bits at a time and try and, you know, win each ball, win each over. But I think for the actual individual, it's about what they're thinking under pressure. Mm. You know, the big moments when the game's on the line or, you know, someone's just come to the crease or someone's just got the ball. Being able to think clearly and then carry out your skills is what the best players can do well. So that's in my opinion, that's where they're battling at the moment.
Mm. We like to have a look back on people's careers here in this segment. So let's go back to the start for you, Andrew. Born in England, adopted, moved to Australia very early on. How did cricket become such a big part of your life?
My father was very, very keen cricketer. He wasn't bad at cricket himself, but the amount of time that he put into me as a child was phenomenal. He'd throw balls to me before and after school, sort of five, sometimes 6 days a week. And
wow.
He'd drive me. We lived in a little town called Charters Towers. When I started playing club cricket, he'd drive me from Charters Towers to Townsville so I could play club cricket in a higher standard. In Townsville, so
yeah, that's a route mark.
How far is that?
I know that area. That's a route mark.
Hour and a half drive into town. So that's the sort of dedication in parents that you may not see these days as much. You know, there are obviously parents that are prepared to do that, but I'm forever thankful for what my parents have. You know, gave me the opportunities to do this sort of thing. So, you know, everyone claims to be time poor these days, but you know, I think as a kid, you know, you need to be practicing to sort of, you know, set all your roots for when you do become an older person, I suppose, in any field, whether it's academically or sporting or whatever it is, as a kid, you got to get into the right habits, I suppose.
Exactly. Mm. Was it always cricket, Andrew? Were there other sports that you liked, and when did cricket become your destiny, so to speak?
Oh, look, I played pretty much any sport that was thrust in front of me. You know, I was, you know, cricket, football, soccer, hockey, rugby union, you know, in the school, athletics teams, swimming teams, all that sort of stuff. So
yeah, right.
I was constantly you know, on the sporting field in all different, you know, types.
Yep.
So, and obviously, I suppose, good for your mental and physical development as a kid to be active. You know, with childhood obesity is such a problem in this country, and that's and not all the schools provide sporting challenges for kids now too, which I think is very wrong. But so then it falls on the parents to, you know, time and put the time and money and effort into getting their kids into sport and giving them a chance, I suppose, to potentially chase a dream of playing professionally. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we're going through it now. Our kids have just started sort of playing sport and that, and we're running them around, so they're getting their own back on us now.
now your time, poor Andrew.
Get used to it,
that's
mate.
Right.
Get used to it. Let's go to the big moments in your international career. I think you were walking out to bat. It was a depleted Australian side at the 2003 World Cup. The Aussies were 4 for 86 against Pakistan. And look, you don't know Wayne Goober. He's an old teammate of mine. He's a very handy fourth grade cricketer. He was sitting on the couch next to his then girlfriend, and as you were walking out to bat, he said, "I'm a better batter than this bloke."
Oh, yes.
Right, right. 143 not out later.
What did he say then?
I think he finally conceded that actually wasn't the case. How important was that innings for you, Andrew, as someone who went on to have an outstanding international career?
Yeah, that particular innings was pivotal. You know, he was right. I didn't deserve to be on that trip. I hadn't scored enough runs and what have you. But the coach, John Buchanan, and the captain, Ricky Ponting, saw something in me that they liked and they wanted me on that trip. And as you said, we were depleted. We had Darren Lehman was on suspension. He'd been suspended back in Australia before we left. Michael Bevan was out with, I think he torn his groin. And Warnie had been sent home the night before our first game with his diuretic that he'd taken.
That's right.
So, yeah, we were depleted. So we had, you know, blokes like Andy Bickle, Brad Hogg, Jimmy Marr, and that. We were the men that were taking up the slack. And so the rest of the cricketing world were thinking, right, they're vulnerable Australia. We can perhaps have a bit of a chop with them here and run over a bit of luck. But, yeah, those men really rallied. And, you know, I was lucky enough that day to play in innings, which pretty much changed. Probably changed my life, I suppose.
Yeah.
In the end, because I made those runs that day, and I always went back when I was doing it tough to that innings. I'd sort of always refer back to it, or watch a bit of it, or watch how I started my innings. But that tour was the best tour I ever went on.
Wow.
You know, because of those I suppose difficult sort of periods we went through with the suspension and Warnie going home and Bevo being injured, the boys really sort of galvanised, and we went through that tour. We trained very hard, but when we won, we really enjoyed it as a team. You know, we all had a good drink together and really enjoyed it. And the coach he was happy for that to happen. You know, there was no one sneaking out, jumping through windows and sneaking out for a beer. But
yeah.
Then we'd get back to training, and it was a really tight unit that were playing for each other very hard. And, you know, we ended up going through that World Cup without losing a game.
That's right, yeah.
And lifting that trophy was a really satisfying feeling. It was a really great trip.
Well, during this period, Andrew, you were still trying to cement yourself in the Test team. And did you draw back on that World Cup in that famous Boxing Day Test in the Ashes series 06-07? When you walked out to bat, Australia are 5 for 84. The man at the other end of the crease is your great mate Matthew Hayden. Teams in all sorts, and you guys put together a 279 run partnership, and Andrew Symons gets his maiden Test century. What are those memories like, Andrew?
Yeah, it's actually funny. Both my favourite innings. I sort of can't remember a hell of a lot about them. I think that because you're so caught up in the moment where you're trying to redirect how the team's going. So you're sort of more focused on that than how you're feeling yourself, if you know what I mean. You're sort of trying to get things back on track. You know, and that day with Matty, that's exactly what we were doing. We were under the pump and the Englishmen were into us. Kevin Peterson was right into me. And then Haydos, on the rebound, he was just right into KP. Like he just made a beeline for him. KP said to me, he said, "This bloke's in the team to field. What's he doing out here?" So Haydos just went for him, and it sort of distracted the pressure, I suppose, at the moment, because I was quite enjoying it. I was finding it quite humorous. Mm. Haydos, I was talking to him one over, and Haydos just left me and started walking towards KP. And I'm looking at him thinking, "Mate, I haven't finished speaking to you yet. But if you're busy with him, you go and get into it."
Well, that was significant too, because, yeah, you know, knowing about your career, and there was a struggle there for runs, and it was Matt Hayden who said to you, "Mate, you need to hit the ball more. You need to hit more balls in practice." You did that, and things immediately changed. So he was significant in your career.
He was. I look back, and when I was a kid, as I said, I was hitting the ball, you know, twice a day most days. And then once I became a professional, you don't get that unless you go out and do extra sessions yourself. So when we identified that as a potential way to improve our consistency, that's what we did, and that's what worked. Mm-hmm. And so preparation for me was a really big one, and I think it is for everyone, but preparing the right way, you know, preparing smart and being ready for what's going to be put in front of you is key, you know, and that's something I think maybe the Australians at the moment, their method individually and their effort and their thinking and everything is all being done, but actually the actual practical side of it, are they actually preparing, have they found the right method to their own preparation, you know what I mean? Because it took me quite a while to work that out.
Yeah.
And then when you actually get in the nets, or, you know, you're doing your physical training, you need to be doing that right. So when you get out in the middle, that your body's triggering to do the right thing, and your mind's sharp, and you're making good decisions. So, that was a key part of me being successful.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Angie, you also said something earlier which just struck me. You were talking about how Ricky Ponting and I think Gilly and a couple of others saw something in you, wanted you on tours, wanted you in the test team. Is that sort of thinking also could be applied to our current national team, in that we've got players who have got talent, they just need the confidence to believe in themselves? And is it a pick and stick situation at the moment, Andrew? Or
the word talent's a horrible word, I reckon. Because talent in by itself isn't good enough.
Mm.
And what I believe we need to be doing is picking players that have done it consistently for a long period of time, and have the confidence and the runs and the wickets on the board. So when they do get to the top level, they're not sort of going, "Oh, well, this is a bit harder than what I expected." You know, picking a bloke on talent when he's played half a dozen games, I reckon you're setting him up for failure.
Yeah, good point.
And it's really hard on the actual kid that they pick, because he's got no choice. He's jumping out of his skin. He's thinking, "Geez, I've just been picked from a country. How good's this?"
Yep.
And then when it comes to playing as the best batsman and the best bowls in the world, it's a difficult thing. Cricket's a difficult game. You know, being a batsman, you get one chance. And innings, that's it. So you've got to be ready for it. And being ready for it is having done it many times. And so it's second nature. Because it's a pressure situation. The media's looking at you. The people are looking at you. And your teammates are looking at you. So there's many different factors of pressure. So it's how you can filter that and then perform.
One of the things, we've got time pressures here, Andrew, which is most unfortunate, because I don't know about Roman, I'm thoroughly enjoying this. I'm sure the listeners are as well. Now you're living up in the north of Queensland. Are you still a Broncos man, or are you a Cowboys man? And that 2008 shoulder charge, you realise now that's been outlawed from the game, and you would have had to wrap him up ball and all if it was to happen again.
Yeah, I'm Broncos.
Right.
Cowboys second, but Broncos man. Through and through. So,
right.
And yeah, the shoulder charge. Yep, it was. I did some training with the Broncos, and Tony Carroll was a very good defensive back rower, and we did a lot. You know, we just did a lot of tackling, sort of technique stuff, and he, you know, taught me to work from low to high and try and get up and under their ribs, and So that bit of training that I'd done with the Broncos came in handy that night to let my frustrations on that that young gentleman.
Outstanding. Hey, Andrew, looking back on your career now, and as we've touched on some of the highlights, do you look back on a career fulfilled, or were there things that you still wish you could have achieved with the baggy green?
Yeah, look, I would like to have been a better player. I reckon I should have averaged probably 5 or 8 more in Test cricket. I probably should have averaged 5 more in One Day cricket. Mm-hmm. And my bowling, like I was never a very good bowler, but I did work on my bowling hard for that very reason. I should have been a bit better with the ball as well, but. In the end, I suppose the politics, and I did some silly things too, don't get me wrong, with the politics, and I just felt let down when we went through the Harbour-Jarn thing, and that weighed very heavily on me.
Yes.
I felt responsible for, dragging my mates into a situation which was not their fault and was just handled poorly, and, we didn't get the support we needed. Mm. And then I started to get on a grog, and it was a sort of beginning of the end for me there. And then, so I suppose I left the game. I had had enough, but probably had enough for the wrong reasons, because I probably would have liked to have, should have played for another couple of years, but my headspace was all wrong, and that was a shame. I'd like to have gone out, I suppose, a bit more on the terms that I would have liked, I suppose, and sort of left my teammates sort of saying, mate, that was really good having you around and enjoyed playing with you. And it sort of in the end, it wasn't that, I suppose. It was sort of I didn't want the limelight and the attention, and I just had enough of the politics and the I suppose all that sort of thing. So I was out. And when I actually came back into the side after I'd been suspended, and the feeling that I had for being in that situation had changed. And that's when I sort of knew. Tim Nielsen was a coach, and he said, how are you going with it? And I said, well, I won't actually know until I get out in the middle and have a game and see what I'm feeling in the actual competitive situation. And when I found that it was in the UAE, I sort of went out there to bat, and we were playing Pakistan. It was a tight game. And, my passion for the battle had changed a bit. It wasn't that I didn't want to be in the battle, but it was just I just didn't want to be in that environment, I think it was. Mm. And so that was a sign for me. And, I sort of not long after that, I was finished.
Mm. I understand.
Yeah. That's really candid of you. We really appreciate how open and honest you've been, Andrew. We've got to fly. Look, a whole new generation of Australian cricket fans are enjoying what they're getting from Andrew Symons from a commentary point of view. I know I certainly do. Thanks for your time this morning. Good luck with Fox Cricket for the remainder
we'll
of the summer
and
beyond. And I really appreciate your time this morning, Andrew.
No worries, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Andrew.
There he is, Andrew Symons, our legend of the game.
Jeez, he spoke well. Yeah.
Isn't there more to Andrew Symons than what you first anticipated?
As is coming across in the Fox coverage when you hear him. He's very insightful in his comments, and he's straight to the point, isn't he? So
1353 53, open line number, a break. Back with more, including Tanya's Sports Update. We've got to get that in, but also Mark Leishman.
The annual Big Sports Lunch has become one of the hottest tickets on the sporting calendar. Join TK, Laurie and the rest of the Big Sports Breakfast crew for 2019's events. It'll be a fabulous afternoon with a host of your sporting favourites. Friday, February 22, in the Big Top at Sydney's Luna Park. Tickets at $160 per person include 2-course lunch and drinks. Grab your workmates or some friends and book a table. Call Billy at Luna Park on 0468 928 242. 0468 928 242.
And that was the Queen of Europe from the Isle of Pakistan.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
What a performance. Mark Leishman wins the CIMB Classic. And he wins it easily. Final round, 60.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Well, we go from one international superstar to another one. Andrew Symons into Mark Leishman, the world's number 19 ranked golfer. He's just come off the back of that win in the CIMB Classic at Kuala Lumpur. Gives him a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour, just the $1.26 million USD as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all looking good. And, of course, we've got the World Cup of Golf coming up November 21 at the Metropolitan Golf Course. He's teaming up with Cameron Smith, and I know they're both looking forward to that. It's great to have him on the line now. Mark is there. G'day, Mark.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Yeah, really well. Really appreciate your time, too, and I'm sure the listeners will as well. The World Cup coming up, it's a teams event. It's interesting the way they're playing, alternate shot, best ball format. How are you and Cameron combining as a team? I think you spent some time together over in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we spent quite a bit of time together, you know, second half of the year, become really good friends. And, you know, we were learning off each other, you know, playing a session of practice rounds. And, you know, since I did pick him as my partner, we've been, you know, discussing tactics and that sort of thing, I suppose, you know, as far as golf ball go, with ultimate shot. But, yeah, really looking forward to getting down there and hopefully doing Australia proud and leading with the World Cup.
Yeah, Mark, I was interested in why you chose Cameron as your partner. Can you talk us through that process?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a very tough decision. With yeah, being great mates with both Scotty and Cam. You know, Cam had pretty much played so well that I couldn't not pick him. You know, he played great all year, particularly the second half of the year. You know, Scotty made it pretty tough decision there at the end, just playing well on the PGA and the playoffs. But, yeah, I think, you know, just was the next in line, and that was, I thought, the fairest way to do it. So that's how I came up with that.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to seeing you back in your native Victoria as well. I don't know, what have you played the Metropolitan much during the course of your career?
I've played it a little bit. I mean, not for a long time. It's probably been 12 or 13 years since I played it. You know, I didn't get to play the Australian Masters when it was there last time. But I remember playing tennis there, country week, just loving the golf course. I remember it being, condition-wise, the best I've probably ever played anywhere still. You know, I've played a lot of really good golf courses around the world, and I think that's still the most memorable consistent golf course I've played. So.
Wow.
I'm excited to get back there. Yeah, looking forward to getting into it and you know, hopefully playing some golf that's going to inspire everyone.
And Mark, we know obviously golf's such an individual sport. There's few opportunities to play in that team environment. So what does it mean to yourself and to Cameron, not only to play as a team, but effectively playing for Australia?
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity. Anytime you can play as a team, as a golfer, you know, it is very rare. I've been lucky enough to play three Presidents' Cups and this will be my second World Cup. But, yeah, it's great. I mean, you know, obviously, it's you know, hopefully we can play well, get some good vibes going. You know, having someone to celebrate with is another player is a lot of fun. Unfortunately, all the Presidents' Cup teams I've been in have been on the wrong end of that. So we'd love to change that. You know, come out on top in this World Cup. It's, you know, it'd be great to play in front of home crowds and family and friends. And, you know, it's just cool to have someone who's willing to show up in and you're hoping that they hit good shots too. So I'm sure we'll have fun no matter how we play. But obviously, you know, we're down there for a reason and we want to come away with that trophy.
Mark, Abraham Ancer, the young Mexican, is the five-shot leader of the Australian Open at the moment. You don't have a, well, for want of a better term, an Aussie major win to your credit and lots of other wins in tournaments. How much of a draw card is that, a motivation for you to get home and play in an Aussie Open or a PGA or a Masters?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's one thing that I haven't picked off. You know, hopefully I can change that in these next 2 weeks with the World Cup or the Australian PGA. You know, I've made a rule with myself that I don't like to spend more than 2 weeks away from my kids, so hence not playing the Australian Open this week. But it's something that I definitely want to do. And you know, Abraham Ancer looks like he's playing pretty good. I played with him in Korea a couple of weeks ago, and he's playing good, so we'll, I'm sure he'll, you know, it's tough to win. He'll hopefully he played good, and, but it'll be nice to see an exciting finish up there at the Lakes.
It will be, yeah. Mark, just on the Australian Open, there's talk about scheduling and whether it's the right time of year, particularly for people like yourself, international golfers who travel so much, whether it's better placed maybe early in February. Any thoughts from a golfer's perspective about the Australian Tour and our majors like the Australian Open and PGA?
Yeah, it's a hard one. Obviously I'm Australian and very proud to be an Australian, but now living in America, I think, you know, everyone's schedules are different. For me, I would think that the best date would be close to Christmas, with, you know, guys coming back for Christmas. But, you know, other guys are probably going to think differently. So I think, you know, you've got to do what's best for the guys on this tour, and I think, you know, the people will come. I think once, you know, they start moving it around a little bit, I think that'll help. It's been here for quite a few years in a row now, and, if the US Open was in one city all the time, that would maybe take away from it a little bit. I think, you know, so there's so many other good golf courses around the country, like, you know, in Adelaide, Royal Adelaide, Tooyonga, you know, there's great courses in Perth, Melbourne, you know, that stand out. I think it'd be good for the tournament if they moved it around a little bit, but, as far as scheduling goes, I'm not 100% sure what they do there.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Are you used to living with the Seppos yet? they're an interesting breed.
You're getting used to it. It's good over there. Everything's real easy. Travel is easy. We don't really have to leave the country too much, apart from coming down here and the British Open and all that. It's everything. I'm used to it. You know, my wife's American. Kids are half and half, but they got the American accent. I enjoy it over there. I must say, I love getting back here and turning the TV on, watching some cricket. You know, having the friends and family and all the familiarity of Australia.
Fantastic. Hey, Mark, we're really looking forward to this World Cup of Golf. Congratulations on your recent wins, your form overall. It's just fantastic, doing great things on the PGA Tour. And as we mentioned, ranked 19 in the world. I think you're a higher 16 after that win in Kuala Lumpur. But we are excited about the World Cup of Golf and appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks a lot, guys.
Best of luck, Mark. Thanks.
There he is, Mark Leishman. He'll be teaming up with Cameron Smith, and they will be playing for Australia at the Metropolitan Golf Course.
I love that line. Love coming home and turning on the TV and watching some cricket and being with his mates. Isn't that quintessentially Australia in summer?
Absolutely it is. It's fantastic. So Mark Leishman there, very popular figure on the PGA Tour. Another popular figure here in the studio is Tanya. Time now for our sports update.
On the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
Australia defeated Italy for the 18th successive time in the rugby match in Padova overnight. The Wallabies ran in four tries. However, the win may have come at a cost, with David Pocock leaving the field early with a concussion. In other matches, South Africa 26, Scotland 20, England 35, Japan 15, Wales 74-24 over Tonga, France 28 beat Argentina 13, and in Dublin, the big match between the world's top two teams, Ireland 16 beat New Zealand 9. Australia salvaged a one-all draw with South Korea in last night's Soccer International in Brisbane. Deep into stoppage time, Massimo Luongo kicked the ball in from close range. Coach Graham Arnold said the late strike was the least his team deserved after a match they had dominated. Mark Milligan was named captain a few hours beforehand. Australia was defeated by South Africa in the one-off T20 cricket match on the Gold Coast last night. Rain shortened the match to a T10 format. The Proteas batting first, 6 for 108. The Aussies in reply, 7 for 87. Our women's team went down to India by 48 runs in the final group match of the World T20 tournament in Guyana. Both teams are safely through to the semis. And in Sheffield Shield, New South Wales resumed this morning on day 3 of the match against Queensland in Canberra. The Blues no wicket for 33 in their second innings, holding an overall lead of 52. Abraham Anser is looking to become the first Mexican to win the Australian Golf Open when he heads into today's final round at the Lakes after a 7-under 65 yesterday, of which he commented was the best round of his career given the conditions. He shot a he holds a 5-shot lead at 13-under. Final round playing partner Keita Nakajima is next at 8-under, and American Keegan Bradley and Aussie Marcus Fraser, they're both a further shot back. Reigning NBL MVP Bryce Cotton scored 26 points in Perth's 88-83 overtime win over the Taipans in Cairns last night. Earlier, Adelaide thrashed Illawarra 104-79. Today in Sydney, the Kings host New Zealand at 5:20. It's a double header with the women taking the court first at 2:45, the Flames versus Bendigo Spirit. The Hockey Roos have begun the 2018 Champions Trophy tournament in China with a 2-1 win over Argentina. And Alexander Zverev is the first German since Boris Becker to reach the season-ending ATP Finals. The 21-year-old beat Roger Federer overnight in the semi in straight set 7-5, 7-6. He'll meet the in-form Novak Djokovic after he beat Kevin Anderson in straight set this morning. And boys, two young Aussie boys realised a dream early yesterday. Ben Simmons and Dante Exum went head-to-head in an NBA game for the very first time. They're both sons of US-born NBL imports. They grew up together in Australia playing in backyard basketball games and on junior representative squads. And they had spoken about, you know, growing up, going one day head-to-head in the NBA. Injuries had delayed that meeting, you know, because Ben was out for the first season. But yeah, they finally got together, and in the raucous 20,000 crowd amongst all of that, they in Philadelphia, they managed to find some time to share some quiet words together and reflect on the moment.
They both come from down Werribee way. Our good friend Wayne Barney Stewart actually coached Dante at one stage.
Oh, really?
In AFL though, wasn't it?
In both. And they're both superstar basketballs and also AFL players.
Yeah.
And Geelong wanted Dante Exum big time.
Yep.
And Ben Simmons wasn't far behind, but they both had that dream.
Isn't that awesome?
That is. At 23 and 22, you can imagine them at, you know, 8, 9 or 10. And they would obviously have been gone through the ranks in those representative teams.
Dominated right through.
Just saying, one day we'll play in the NBA and against each other.
And they did.
And Philadelphia won the match, 113-107.
It's like the War Boys. They played cricket in the backyard and then they batted together in test matches.
Backyard cricket.
The Marsh Brothers.
Yeah.
There's a big age gap there, but it's just incredible. You think about it. Absolutely fantastic.
What about the Smith boys? River and Austin, what will they be doing?
They could fight each other.
Over the Roosters one day.
They could fight each other. That'd be handy.
They're both Roosters boys, aren't they?
No, River's a Shark.
No, River's a Shark.
Yeah, they'll go head to head. So that'd be good.
There you go.
Just on that, the Kings, $1.40 favourites against New Zealand at $3. You're heading out there today, are you?
We are.
You are, are you? Just out of interest.
Can't wait for that.
Where are you sitting?
Where are we sitting, Tim?
Oh, that'll do me,
Raymond.
Every
seat's a good seat there at Bank Arena.
Good comeback, Tim. Good comeback.
Oh, you guys are unbelievable. Just by the way, and we had that call about Mark Leishman.
Did you know, man.
And watching the cricket with his mates. And Scooter from Goulburn sends this in. Mark Leishman's mates must have Fox.
And still on Scooter, this is a good one too. Overdue decision to play Nathan Lyon in the ODI team.
Can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. Jared Daffy up next. We'll have the mystery voice competition, and we're going to take some calls on 1353-53.
The biggest cowboy Christmas ever is now on at K Ranch Arena near Camden. Whatever you do, don't miss the spectacular Extreme Bulls Finals this Saturday and Sunday. See Australia's elite bull riders battle it out on the baddest, meanest one-ton athletes in their quest to take home the gold buckle. Two big shows, Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. full of thrills and spills like you've never seen before. Tickets from $30. Save by booking online at kranch.com.au.
Tintin in America, winner of 5 Group 1 races, already the sire of an Australian 2-year-old Colts record holder and Australian 3-year-old Phillies record holder. Tintin in America, standing at Yerribee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yerribee.com.au.
All roads lead to Richmond. Sunday, November 25 for the 2018 Richmond Riches Puppy Auction. From 9 a.m, 175 lots will go under the hammer, including pups by Fernando Bale, Dyna Double One and Fabregas. There's a puppy for all budgets. Or buy into one with million-dollar Chase Trifecta trainers Peter Lagogiani, Adam Crouch or Vic Sultana. Contact Richmond Race Club on 0245 782 136 or download a catalogue at richmondgreyhounds.com.au.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new refrigerators ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking? We take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new refrigerator right now from Bingley and you'll get free full service delivery.
You know when the beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick.
See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
Be rewarded at Panthers, Jimmy. With Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards, there's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, renew now. Details at panthers.com.au.
And it's stripped. Now Kuzma's got it. He puts it up. No.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
I'll tell you what, Raymond, we're getting a lot of positive feedback about Andrew Simons. Great interview. This is Sparty and Lenny on Twitter. Great interview this morning with the straight shooting Roy Simons. Will someone please lock G Maxwell in a room with him so he can unlock whatever needs unlocking for him to fully realise his talent?
That's a good
one. I know what you're saying, Sparty.
Yeah. This is from Michelle from Dubbo. What a surprise packet Andrew Simons is.
Yes.
Considered and insightful. Great interview again, guys. That's from Michelle. He was very... His surprise packet, because listening to him, his commentary has been fantastic so far. So he is very insightful. But I guess if you haven't been exposed a lot to him on the commentary so far, he probably did come across as a different dude what you probably thought he would have been.
Well, one of the words you wouldn't have thought you would associate with Andrew Simons is thoughtful.
Mm.
And that's exactly what he is. He was today, and he is in his commentary. 1353-53 is the open line number. Dallas is there. G'day, Dallas.
Greetings.
What do you got for us, Dallas?
Mate, I listen to your show every morning type of thing. That's my first time call. Anyway.
Well, welcome, mate.
Welcome to the show, Dallas.
That's all right. Listen, Andrew Simon, Andrew Eddinghausen, and Matthew Hayden. Geez, I'd like to get them all on together and talk about their fishing. I love my fishing. I love
knowing
good fishing, mate. You get them three on the done and know what you're going to talk about.
We wouldn't get a word in it. I think we've had those three in here, Dallas, at the one time.
Oh, my God. It'd be a comical show, wouldn't it?
It'd be
all right, actually. Yeah. You could put some sponsors around that. You make that work commercially, too, I reckon.
I think so, mate. I'm looking for a quid.
Well, I wasn't thinking you, Dallas. I was thinking more me, but anyway.
I don't mind sharing.
Well, I don't like sharing, Dallas. So.
You learned that very quickly working with Jimmy, Dallas.
Oh, that's unfair.
That's comical.
But, you know,
I've upset him.
I love my cricket. We've always got to have our downs before we have our ups. So just keep your chin high.
Yeah, no, we'll turn around because it is sort of a nadir at the moment, is it, for Australian cricket? It's
got some good young kids running around there, and just don't get them in too quick, bugger them, but, you know, let them have a bit of a hit around. They'll come good.
Nah, they'll be right. Good on you, Dallas. Good to hear from you. First up caller, we do appreciate it. So, it was excellent. Now, just before we get to Jared Daffy, we're going to do the mystery voice competition. We both have our own thoughts that run parallel about who it is.
Let's see if we're right.
I'm also extremely proud to be West Australian. I love the sense of community in my hometown. Whenever my professional commitments take me away, I'm always proud to come home and represent Perth.
I think we're right, Roman. I think we're right. So call now. Call now if you would like to win yourself a chance to go into the draw to win four tickets on Villiers Day at Royal Randwick. It's a classic prize. Great prize. All courtesy of the ATC. And we probably should have made mention of this earlier, but all courtesy of the ATC. Four tickets to into the Grandview Restaurant on Villiers Day. Everything paid for.
Fantastic.
Everything. Except your betting, obviously. Do it responsibly. 1353-53, the open line number. Call now if you think you know who the mystery voice is. Time now to speak to Jared Daffy. And, of course, there's so much sport going on yesterday. Don't worry. It's still on again today as well. G'day, Daff.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray.
How are you, Jared?
I'm good, mate. Very good.
Yeah, all right. The Aussies can't win anything, it seems, from a cricket point of view. Even Glenn Schofield's giving Ray a hard time on social media about it all. But
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. Surely we can have a win somewhere against India.
Well, you would hope so, but the market's gone up, and India are never backed in Australia, but they've gone up $1.80 to win that best of three T20 series, boys. Game $1.80. $2 for Australia, but to win the series, Australia $2.60 outsiders.
Whoa.
And you're $1.50, so they're priced up to their very, very best. I don't know how much you can put on last night's match. It was a 10-10 game, wasn't it? But rank outsiders to win the series, $2.60.
Yeah, it says a lot about where Australian cricket's at the moment. Socceroos on Tuesday night against Lebanon, Jared?
Yeah, they're pretty short too, Ray. $1.25, $4.80 for the draw, and $13 now for Lebanon. Australia were a better quote before they salvaged the draw out of that match last night. They were $1.33. So on the back of that, they've actually shortened up. I'm not quite sure the Lebanese lineup, but they're $13 outsiders at the moment.
Well, what's the holds on those sort of games on the soccer news, Jared?
Massive. That game last night was huge. I mean, obviously they far outweigh an A-League game and sort of pushing towards what we would normally see on an EPL televised game. So
big business. Yeah. That's a very lucky couple that are going to the Sydney Kings game today, Jared. You know, the car pulls up, the red carpet's rolled out, and then they come and Andrew Bogut come and makes himself known to them, and hi, thank
None
you very much,
true,
Ray
Jared,
and Tanya,
you know,
for
you
coming.
Know me,
apparently there'll be a basketball game that'll break out there today as well. Any idea who might be winning that one?
Well, I think Sydney will. New Zealand beaten the other night. They're $1.40, the Kings. I thought they may have been a little bit shorter, but that's the head-to-head price. New Zealand at $3. There's been a pretty good move on the line, though, boys. Minus 5.5 for the Kings. It's into $1.85 from $1.90. So they're expected to win, and will win by 6 points or more. They're equal favourites to win the title at the moment with the Tigers at $3.
Yeah, looking forward to that this afternoon. Golden State, Steph Curry was out over the weekend. They got absolutely hammered. They're playing Dallas today, though, Jared.
Yeah, now, what I read, Ray, was that he was going to be out for those three matches in Texas, and this is one of those today. And I thought they might have been outsiders, but they're not. They're $1.67 with Dallas at $2.20, but the money has been for Dallas. So at $2.30 overnight into $2.20, we've got a line there of nine points. 2.5 points, $1.90 either side, but there's always interest in the Warriors. $1.60 to win the title, but, of course, he's out through injury at the moment.
Now, the Wallabies have a win against Italy. New Zealand beaten by Ireland, 1-2 in the world.
What about that?
How good was
what
that?
About,
what about the
try?
The winger. The winger scored.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Yeah. So that's seen a major reshuffle to the World Cup market because we did have New Zealand at 210 prior to. They're out to 225. Ireland have been the movers, 5.50 into 4.50. England remained at $8, and I know Australia got the win, but it was fairly unimpressive. They're at $11, along with South Africa, then out to 21 for Wales, and France, who beat Argentina just a little while ago. But, yeah, major shift there in those top two. Ireland clear second picks now at 4.50.
And, look, we've got the market up, too. We just spoke to Mark Leishman.
A good warnable boy, too, you know.
Yes, he is. That's right. He's a former Victorian PGA winner, too. I'm pretty sure he's won that event.
I don't know whether you know this, but he went back to Warrnambool for Christmas last year, all the boys down there, Tommy. He went over to Port Fairy and played in a tournament just to help them out.
Yep.
He finished third that day, so first and second, I don't know where they've ended up. You know what his prize was for finishing third?
Here we go.
A golf ball.
A golf ball.
How about that? Let's hope that he can get the money next week in that World Cup. He's favourite at the moment, or he and Cam Smith are favourites there at $6. So that's that market for next week. And, of course, you've got the Australian Open continuing on today.
Yes.
And at the moment, Abraham Ancer, who was actually well back before it got underway, the Mexican.
Okay.
He's got a five-shot lead, $1.20. Keegan Bradley, 13, and Matt Kuchar at 21, and Marcus Fraser at 21. So there's a bit of class trying to chase him down, but five shots, a big, big lead. Mm.
Look, don't worry too much about Mark Leishman. He just won in Kuala Lumpur, $1.26 million US dollars, and a two-year exemption on the PGA Tour. So I think he's okay.
I think I read the other day where he's won 10 big boys in the last 12 months.
He's going okay.
He's going okay.
Yeah. No, he should be fine. Everything should be fine. Good on you, Daff. Appreciate that, mate.
See you, guys.
See you, Jared. Jared Daffy there from tab.com.au. By the way, no more calls around the mystery voice. Max from the Upper Hunter has won the mystery voice. So Max now becomes our third person in the draw. Three to go.
And the mystery voice was?
We were right, Raymond. Sam Kerr. Mm. It's actually on our run sheet. We should have seen that a little bit earlier. I know you didn't know that when you were riding. I know. All right, another misser up. Just becoming...
right on the...
Who was that horse that won the Zipping Classic four times?
Jeez, we've...
One of my best this
panel operator Amy's going to have some fun with this show. Oh, she's going to carve
cut
us up
the whole show
next week. Yeah,
yeah, dig 'em. We might be able to phone it in next week. You never know. 1353 53, the open line number. Right now, time to speak to Scotty Foster from Steve Foster and Sons, or as he's become known after a big win from Baileys, the Reserve Bank of Australia. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning, boys. If only it would last all the all, you know, if it would happen every week, I'd be very happy. But
wouldn't it be nice?
Unfortunately, yeah, it doesn't. But you got to enjoy it while you get those opportunities, and we definitely did that time. So
I'll tell you what does last every week: a great offer from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. What do you got for the listeners today, mate?
Yeah. Oh, firstly, boys, I just want to congratulate Graham Hogg. Graham, he hears the ads on the near new cars you have in stock, and he came in and bought himself a beautiful near new SV6 Commodore Black Edition.
Oh.
So well done, Graham. He'd be looking forward to picking up his new car. But another listener, very happy.
Fantastic. Well done. Well done. Today's car?
Today, I'm advertising another ideal first car for someone to buy. It's a beautiful little Hyundai Getz FX. It's automatic hatch. It has 127,000 kilometres. It does have logbooks with impeccable service history. It's black in colour. It's one very good-looking vehicle, and it's one of the most reliable and economical small cars on the market. This one comes with air conditioning, power steering, power windows. It's got the driver's airbag. It's got 15-inch alloy wheels, power mirrors, and remote central locking. It has a very reliable 1.5-litre four-cylinder engine, a four-speed automatic transmission, and this car has registration till June 2019. This is going to make the perfect first car. On special for the listeners today, it's only $3,990. You've got to go to the website www.fosterscualitycars.com.au or give us a call on 963750824 and make it fast, because small cars as good as this one sell very quickly. And don't forget to mention Sky Sports Radio to get this great price. It's a good car, and it's a great first car for someone. So be quick, it's only $3,990.
No, terrific. And, Scotty, you can help our listeners with finance packages?
Yeah, we've got some great finance packages available. We've got access to a number of lenders. This allows us to get the best possible rates, but it also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber driving, then go to our website, www.fosterscualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963750824, because we can help you get into a vehicle as soon as today.
Good on you, mate. I know you've got the Good Truck Wholesalers you're in bed with there now, Mick Appleby, not literally, obviously, but you want to cheerio.
I do want to say a very big happy 70th birthday to the number one mother-in-law, Judy Frierson. She has to handle with a lot of our crew, so she does a great job, and we wish her a very happy birthday, and we hope she has a great day today. She's got a few friends coming over, and we hope to spoil her and give her a great afternoon.
You do that, Scotty. That's fantastic, mate. Well done. We'll speak again next week.
Certainly will, boys. Have a great afternoon.
There he is, Scotty Foster from Foster's Quality Cars, fosterscualitycars.com.au or 9637 50. 2024. Ray, Jimmy, I'm off to the Adamitami Cup next weekend. How about you two try to come down next year? This is the track they filmed Farlap the movie. Road trip with Kegsy, Mac Daddy, Wild Thing and Kojak.
That's Paul at Huskisson.
What a team. No, thank you, Paul.
What a team. This is from Brett from Richmond. Fox Sports cricket commentary, a breath of fresh air, calling it as they see it. A lot of people agree with you, Brett.
Yeah, absolutely they do.